began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, where it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Nimrod became one of the leaders. There are leaders in every generation. Verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Nineveh, and the city of Rehoboth, and Calah, and Resen between Nineveh and Calah. The same is a great city. And Mizraim begat Ledum, and Anamim, and Lehabim, and Naphtalim, and Pathrozim. I don't know where they got all these names, folks. But, and Kashulim, out of whom came Philistim, and Kaphathorim. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Gergesite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hemathite, and afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gur, and Gaza, as thou goest to Sodom, and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zeboam, even to Lesha. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Ham's family spread out across the Mideast. They probably even went south into Africa. Ham's family stayed pretty much in the Middle Eastern area. There were some famous children born to Ham's offspring, but they were always under the curse of Noah, that Noah had made against Ham for his betrayal. Just as Seth was the godly line born to Adam and Eve, Shem was the godly line born to Noah and his wife, as we will see in chapter 11. Genesis 10, 21 through 32. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born, the children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, Aram, the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gather, and Mash. And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons, the name of the one was Peleg. For in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. When it says that the earth was divided, it's talking about the people of the earth, not the physical geography of the earth. Okay? The earth was divided during the flood, physically, geographically. Now we're talking about the differences in society, the different human groups that gathered. And Joktan begat Almandad and Shealef and Hasmapha and Jera and Hadaram and Uzal and Jobab, and all these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest into Sephar, a mount of the east. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, and their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations, and by the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So during the flood, the main continent broke up and was floating in the waters. When this phrase, "by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood," it's speaking of the people and countries, not the land, that had already taken place during the lifetime of Shem's offspring, Peleg, in verse 25 of chapter 10. Now, normally we would stop here for tonight, but we've still got time, and so I would like for us to go on into chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. At this point, God had not divided the people up. They still spoke the same language that they had spoken in the Garden of Eden. Think about that. One language coming on down to Noah. Noah on the ark, one language. When he got off the ark and these children of his began to multiply, they still all spoke one language. It says so right here. In chapter 11, verse 1, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." Any question? "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east," they were heading west, okay, "that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." They didn't find a mountain, they didn't find hills. They found a plain, they found a level spot. Good spot to live, good spot to farm, good spot to grow things, good spot to build houses, to build a city. "And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime, and they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." I want to stop right here for a minute. God is watching everything that's going on at this time as well as right now. He knows what we're doing. God is interested in what we're doing. Now, these people were building a tower that would reach to heaven. They were building that tower for one of three reasons. Have you ever thought about this? Number one, they didn't trust God. They didn't trust him that he had said he never again would send a flood to destroy the earth. And so they wanted to build a tower high enough that they would be above the waters if God ever did that again. That's one possibility. Number two, they were going to build a vast city so that the rest of the population, as it expanded across and around the world, would recognize them for their prowess in being able to build large structures, that they were able to generate buildings to protect themselves, walls, enclosures, so that when sin finally brought war or threats from other of the population, people they didn't know. If you don't know people, there's a little bit of a fear of them. And so this was what could be what motivated them to want to build this tower so it would be observable from long distances, and it would be well known in the world according to that which let us make a name for ourselves. Look at verse 4. It says, The tower reached to heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad. Let's stay together. What did God tell them? Get out there and populate the whole earth. Scatter out. He didn't want them congregating in one place. That's possibility number two. Possibility number three. They wanted to build a tower to heaven so they could direct God what to do. God was watching. Verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Now, some of you are former military. Some of you have been in foreign lands. What's it feel like when you're in a foreign land and you don't understand the language? It can be pretty frustrating sometimes. When Connie and I were traveling in France with a couple of girls, we were taking to Germany for a Sunday school conference. We had to stay overnight in France because there had been a problem with the airplane. And so we were staying on the French economy, and I didn't have much money. I was an airman second, I think, at the time. So we went to a bar to get something to eat because that was the only thing that was open in that little town. The town was Châteauroux. So we went to this bar and they didn't speak any English at all. And I tried to order something for all of us to eat. And I put my two hands together and, you know, showing stuff to put in it. And they brought ham sandwiches. And those ham sandwiches were so tough. I don't know how you make ham tough, but they did. They had a Great Dane in the bar who lived there. He came up to our table, and I was glad to give him my sandwich. When you cannot communicate with people, you don't hang around them. You go looking for somebody you can communicate with. And that's what God did here. He scattered them by giving each one a different language. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. All the earth. They went everywhere. They went to China, to India, to Africa, to the islands. And they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And it goes on to give us, these are the generations of Shem. And the Bible in chapter 11, follows the generations of Seth all the way down to a fellow called Terah. And in verse 27, let's look at that. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram and Nahor and Haran. And Haran begat a fellow called Lot. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram And Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no children. Then Terah took Abram and his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, as Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. Who populated Canaan? Ham. Okay? So the people of Canaan would be servants to these folks. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. And in the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. All right, that takes us up to, takes us through the first 11 chapters of Genesis, takes us up to the beginning of the Israeli nation. Now you know why the first 11 chapters of Genesis are so important. At this point, God chooses his people, the nation Israel. Through, who is the father of Israel? Abraham. That's Abram before God renames him. Okay, any questions on this? God has shown us how he did it. And so we will, that's a good place for us to stop before Christmas. Now, we still have a service next Sunday night, but for the following two Sundays, we will no longer have services because that will be Christmas and New Year's. Okay? So we'll be meeting in the mornings. And on Friday, the 23rd, we will have our candlelight service here. And which would you rather have, 6:30 or 7? Shall we do it at 6:30?